Greg Easterbrook writes for The New Republic, The Atlantic Monthly, The New York Times. He's written for The New Yorker. He writes about public policy issues, energy, the environment. So the fact that he writes for Slate.com, the online magazine, is not surprising. But the subject matter and his approach to it are surprising. Greg Easterbrook writes the Tuesday Morning Quarterback feature, and his pieces have now been published in a small book called Tuesday Morning Quarterback. The subject is pro football, and one form that Easterbrook uses is the Japanese verse form, the haiku.
Well, the haiku dates to the 17th century in Japan, and it uses the form 5-7-5 syllables. So an example from Matsuyo Bashu, who was the first Japanese haiku master, would be, "On a withered branch, a crow has now alighted, nightfall in autumn." An example of a pro football haiku from Tuesday Morning Quarterback in the 21st century would be, "On Brett Favre's helmet, beer falls and the cup crumples, sideline in autumn."
And you've written quite a few haiku describing not just scenes in a game of professional football, but they describe positions and stadiums.
Yes, here's a few examples. "Touchdown, the crowd roars. Wait, what's that fleck of yellow? Oh no, not again."
that is the official's flag calling back the touchdown, but brilliantly summarized in those 17 syllables.
Here's another. "The biggest bonus, interviews and endorsements. I am the QB."
And that's part of your series, is celebrating the different positions on the field, the quarterback.
Yes,
and
here's one for the original Mile High Stadium, now being replaced. "Thin air, mountain views, visitors gasping for breath, doomed in fourth quarter." Here's one for the original Soldier Field in Chicago, now in the process of being destroyed. "Snow and freezing wind off the lake. Then weather gets bad. Away team shivers."
Now, we should point out here that you not only write haiku about professional football, but you also analyze and interpret the game in your Tuesday Morning Quarterback feature. And you did discover something very interesting, I guess, from last season, about the fake kick, the fake punt.
I looked for immutable laws of football, just as physicists look for immutable laws of the universe. And by having a pen and pencil handy for every game I watched, found there was a virtual one-to-one relationship between executing a successful fake kick and winning the game. In pro football, almost every time last season, a team executed a fake kick, they won. So one of my immutable laws of football is fake kick equals victory.
Another law, perhaps a little mutable, I'm not sure, was that the team that, I guess, overdresses for a cold climate typically loses.
Yes, my law of football is that coaches should be cold. In a cold weather game, you can know who's going to win just by looking at the coaches on the sidelines. If the coaches are overdressed in McMurdo Bay-style parkas, this ridiculous K2 climbing survival gear you sometimes see coaches wearing, almost in every case, the team with the overdressed coaches will lose. Whereas if coaches are wearing sweaters, varsity jackets, baseball caps, shrugging at the cold, the team with the cold coaches will win.
And the corollary to that is that it's typically the team from Tampa Bay or Miami on the road in Green Bay or Buffalo whose coach will overdress.
Tampa Bay in the 2000 season played once in Chicago, once in Green Bay, both cold weather games. Both cases, their coaches wore heavy parkas. One case, some of the coaches wore balaclavas on their faces. Both times, the team lost. Had their coaches been cold, they should have won.
to read a funny, witty book about football is, at least for me, to be reminded how much baseball has dominated the sort of smart journalism of the past several years. Not too long ago, football really was the thinking man's fun sport back in the 1960s or 70s. Recently, seems to have been hard times.
Writers for years have paid more attention to baseball than football, and I think this is clearly a character flaw on the part of writers. Football is the more intellectually engaging sport. It's much more complicated. There are 22 players each doing a different thing simultaneously on a football play. In baseball, one, two, sometimes three players are moving at a time. Strategies are more complex in football. It's true that baseball has a sort of a placid and pleasant quality to it that football lacks, but we like football because it lacks pleasant qualities. We like the thunder and the smashing and the hitting and the shouting. And I find the thought processes behind it, although many of them absurd, to be very engaging.
Well, I'd just like you to read one more haiku for us before you go. Any favorite of yours that you haven't read yet?
Here's a good one that requires you to know that quarterbacks are coached to count 1, 2, 3 and then get rid of the ball, because by the time you reach the number 3, a pass rusher will be reaching you. So here is a haiku that reflects that. He drops back and looks, counts in his head, 1, 2, 3, then gack! Sees but turf.
Greg Easterbrook, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Greg Easterbrook is the author of Tuesday Morning Quarterback.